Dear Lord, we just give you praise and glory today, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share your word, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would speak through me, Lord, that every word that's of me would fall to the ground, but every word that's of you would hit the mark, Lord, and be full and change lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. So, title of my message, DWJD. Which doesn't mean a lot to you, obviously, at the end, because I didn't want to... Oh, she's too clever. Shh, it's a secret. All right, so I was looking up, when I was putting this together, I was doing a bit of research, find an icebreaker story that kind of fitted in with what I was talking about, and just to sort of get comfortable, probably more for me than for you, but... In any case, I stumbled across this website which said Rule the Room Public Speaking, about helping people with public speaking, and it had the five key things for ice-breaking when you're speaking to an audience. And public speaking is something that I sort of get excited about. I don't see myself as much of a preacher, but I don't know if I'm very motivational or not, but in any case, this really connected with me. And And I was just sort of flicking through, nah, that's not really relevant. Introduce yourself, tell them who you are, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, no, that's not relevant. But then it said there's three keys which you want to tell your audience about what you're going to share. And the three keys were to tell them something about happiness, success, and freedom. And I thought, oh, that sounds good. And it works. So those three keys are what I'm going to share with you today. Happiness, success, and freedom. That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Everyone likes that? We're motivated now. All right. Let's go to James chapter 1. So, James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews, and I'm going to be talking about from chapter verse 21 onwards, but just to you know, the way he's writing it is he's sort of giving them a bit of a pep talk, a bit of a few good nuggets in the few verses, you know, don't worry about falling into trials, you know, count it all joy. The testing of your faith produces patience, you know. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, you know. It's all good stuff and very encouraging. And and it goes on, you know, blessed is a man who endures temptation. Every good gift is a gift, a perfect gift from above. You know, there's so many good nuggets in James chapter 1. And then he comes down to verse 19. And he says, so then, and I think he was sort of buttering him up a bit, because he says, so then, listen up and don't get angry. Be swift to hear and don't be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man doesn't produce righteousness of God. So, you know, you can't get angry with me, what I'm about to say. But listen up, because this is it. And it goes into verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So, throwing aside all filthiness and wickedness means a turning around, a turning about to receive. He's telling them to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So the implanted word is a word that was not always there for the Jewish leaders and people. You know, Jesus said to the leaders who were trying to kill him, you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. They weren't implanted. The word of truth was not implanted in them. And so they were trying to kill him. And that's in John chapter 8. And it talks about, you know, you will die as your forefathers died, you know, who ate manna, and but if you eat me, you'll have life, and they were all just confused for that. But anyway, we read on in verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, so these guys were good Jewish people. They did the thing. They went to the synagogue and the temple, and they heard the word, and they did what they were supposed to do. But James is saying here, you're deceiving yourselves if you're hearers only. You're not doers of the word. It's one thing to hear and receive. Faith comes by hearing. Yes. And but if you hear only, there's no implantation of the word. The word's not in your heart. And you can be blown to and fro. There's no sonship. There's no justification if you're hearing the word only and not doing it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Oh, I'm lucky Josh is onto it. He's keeping up. Good job, Joshy. Right, Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For as many have sinned without the law, will also perish with the without the law. So, you know, if they're not under the law, then they're lost. That's the world who are without the law. As many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. So those under the law are the Jews, and they'll be judged accordingly under the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doer of the law will be justified. So in here Paul's talking to the Romans about the Jews and the Gentiles, and just because you're a Jew and you hear the law doesn't mean you'll be justified. Just because you turn up doesn't mean you've made it. And but it's the doers of the law, both the Jews and Gentiles, that will be justified. And we're the new Israel of God. We're his people. We're the Jews now. And just because we believe doesn't mean we're saved. Doesn't mean justified, doesn't mean we're sanctified, because even Satan believes. And let's have a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And I think, you know, we know about the, you know, where the Bible says that a third of the stars will fall from heaven, and there'll be a great falling away, and those who you think would be in heaven with you aren't. And this is a pretty scary sort of topic, where you think, hey, I'm a good guy, I believe I do the right thing, but it says here, he who does the will of the Father, of my Father in heaven. John 6:38 says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And in verse it goes on to say, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. So the will of the Father is that all should have everlasting life, and you know, reaching the lost, and that all can see the Son and choose him. Verse 22 in Matthew chapter 7, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Yeah. So if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, does that mean you're practicing lawlessness? Yeah. Being a doer of the word is being lawful, is fulfilling the law. 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdens. This is what God wants us to do, to be doers of the word and keep his commandments. So I'm a doer, it's all good. No, that's really too much of a challenge. You know, I go to church, nice to people, I'm a good guy. I love my neighbour, this side, this guy. I'm not so sure. He makes too much noise at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I love my neighbour, not neighbours, neighbour. Follow 10 commandments. I haven't killed anyone today. Didn't steal anything. You know, I know right from wrong. I feel sorry for other people. You know, I'm empathetic, compassionate, and kind to others. You know, I'm doing the word. You know, I'm kind to everyone, unless they cut me off on the road. And, you know, they deserve a few choice words, right? Not that I'd do that. I'm normally the one that cuts people off, to be honest. you know, fruit of the time. You know, love, joy, all the good stuff. I have a moral code. Here we go. I voted no to the referendum, same-sex marriage debate. You know, I put pro-life posts on my Facebook. I'm a doer of the word. I do all the right things, right? Okay, let's go back to what chapter 1 says. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So this clarifies it. James is clarifying it. You know, it's not about what you look like. It's not about the appearances. It's not about what people see you, the way people see you. It's not about keeping up. It's the kind of man that you are. And so being a doer of the word comes from the heart. It's a heart condition. And Galatians 5 talks about the spirit and flesh, which are contrary to one another. You know, it's one or the other. And it's much the same as being a hearer or a doer. You know, they're contrary to each other. You can hear, but if there's no doing, then it's the pole opposite. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's changing that heart, changing the kind of man that you are. It's changing from just being a hearer, just being a listener, just being a third party to being and engaged. Romans 6:14 also says, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. You know, as a doer of the word, you're under grace, but as a hearer only, you're under the law and judged by the law. James 1 verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. So we're talking about forgetting the kind of man he was, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. So what's the perfect law of liberty? That's the gospel, the work of Christ, fulfilling of the law. That's the perfect law of liberty Christ has done, and the work of Christ that we need to look into, and continues in it. So it's not just hearing or seeing or knowing of what that perfect law is, but it's continuing in it. So it's putting into that work. So a hearer is temporary, looking in the mirror, walking away, you know, it's just keeping up appearances, but a doer continues in it. It's a lifestyle that we're on day by day. And then it goes on, but he's perfect, he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work. Hang on, is that right? We're talking about doer of the word, aren't we? Doer of the work. There's no typos in here, is there?
No.
Doer of the work, yeah. Okay. Challenge. I thought I was doing everything right. Didn't know anything about any work. So we have to do some work. It's a work to be a doer of the word. Okay, so what's the work? We can do work. We all go to work. I dig holes, put up a fence. Hard work. I can handle this work business, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And James is telling us to be doers of the word. John chapter 10, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Our works bear witness of what kind of person we are. Do our works bear witness of the Christ in us? Being a doer of the word bears witness of who he is. Early on in, I've been, oh, let me think, 13 years this year, been married. So more than 10, Dave, as you were saying.
Awesome,
I know the signs. Oh, right, okay, well, yeah. Early on, when we're just married is you're two people with totally different cultures, and you're trying to make sense of it all.
Yeah.
And Ange, my beautiful wife, used to tell me, if you don't prioritize me, how do I know that you love me, right? So she was constantly saying, your actions don't line up with what you're saying. And I would say, yes, I do love you, but I've got to go and do this, or I've got to do that. And she's like, your actions aren't lining up with what you're saying. And that was a learning curve for me, as it is for most young married men, is to understand the needs of your new wife. But you know, it's our actions need to line up with what we believe and what we know, and line up with the word. Being a doer of the word requires the work. Actions show. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. I go to my Father. So we do the works of Christ. We do the greater works than these. So be doers of the word, and the word is Christ. So the implanted word is Christ. Absolutely. That we receive with meekness. It's the Christ that's able to save our souls. That implanted word that we receive is the Christ. And we are, James is calling us here to continue the work, to be doers of the word, continue the work of Christ as a doer of the work of Christ in us. So what does that look like? How do we do the work of Christ? What did he do? First of all, he knew who he was. So you've got to know the kind of man you are in Christ, who you are in Christ. Are we hearers? Are we people who just come turn up on Sunday and listen and then go and forget about it and do something else on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Or do we have identity in what we believe? Christ prayed consistently and constantly. You know, do we pray constantly and consistently? Are we in constant communion with the Father? Are we walking every day in prayer? You know, it's challenging. We, you know, get distracted. We've got other things we need to do and that sort of thing. But praying consistently as Christ did is being a doer of the work. Living and walking in the Spirit as Christ did. You know, Galatians talks as, you know, they're polar opposites. Walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And we need to be constantly in the Spirit, because in the Spirit we're under grace and not under the law. And bearing fruit of the Spirit as Christ did. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, these are this is the fruit, this is the works, this is the outworking, this is the signs that we're doing them, being doers of the word. You know, seeking justice and loving mercy, healing the sick. Jesus healed the sick, he helped the lame to walk, opened blinded eyes. You know, this is the work of Christ that we are called to. Do we actually do it? You know, the sick, the lame, and the blind, they're all out there. They're not physical ailments necessarily.
Sorry,
they're right. They are, you know, and we're called to be the light to the world, you know. Yeah, yeah. Are we that light, that city on a hill, you know, that everyone can see from far off? Because the challenge for me constantly is, okay, you know, how am I different to my neighbour who doesn't go to church and doesn't believe and doesn't do anything? You know, what is the work that Christ would do in my life, you know, in my environment, in my community, in my work environment, you know? Am I doing the work? Am I a doer of the word in every environment that I find myself in, when I go to the shops, you know? If I go to the shops and if Jesus was at the shops with me and he saw someone who had a sore leg or hurt themselves and they're sitting down, he'd go over to them and say, hey, how you going? Can we pray for you? We can heal that, you know? Do we do that? Do we help others? I actually recently did a survey for a marketing company called me up and they said, oh, we've got a survey for Main Road. And they wanted to know, okay, where I've been travelling, how did I travel yesterday, this last week, where did I go? And I'm on the road all the time, so, you know, it's pretty straightforward. But then they also asked, how many times this week did you travel to socialise? How many times did you travel to help someone? How many times did you visit a friend? How many times did you volunteer for things? And all these other reasons for travel that really, really challenged me about what sort of work I'm doing, and am I a doer of the word? Am I a doer of the work of Christ, or am I a doer of the work of Cameron? You know, it's easy for us to get busy doing the work of ourselves rather than doing the work of Christ, and you know, being busy, going and being good. You know, we can go about and be busy, but how often are we going about doing good for others as Christ would have done? You know, doing that work of Christ, reaching out to others, helping others, and because there's plenty of need out there. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day, and about the, you know, times we live in, and you know the you know, second coming, and what's the hour that we're in, and et cetera, et cetera. And to be honest, in my opinion, in the first world country, you know, most people are pretty comfortable, and are able to look after themselves and a need for God. But deep down, there's a need. That need and that emptiness is always there, and it's the question we're asking: well, what do we? What's our role in it? How do we play a part in building the kingdom in this time? And it's only by being open to do something different, to get uncomfortable, to step out of your comfort zone, and reach out to others and connect with them in where they're at, connect with them in their need. Whether it's a flu, whether it's worried about coronavirus, whether it's worried about their job or whatever it is, it's being talking to people and not having your blinkers up, being open to see people and talk to them and connect. And, you know, Christ, the work of Christ wasn't repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that wasn't what he did. He didn't go and tell people and command them to he didn't do the work of John the Baptist. You know, he was the one who spoke the truth. He spoke of the new kingdom that saved, and so that's what, you know, that's what we need to do, is just to say, hey, meet people where they're at, you know, and help them to walk, help them to see, help them to be healed, and pray with them, and just be real with them, you know. So, doing of the word is do what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
As Matilda picked very early on. Verse 25, let's finish it off, wrap it up. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So there's the blessing, there's the success and freedom. You know, and it's blessing in what he does, in that, as a doer, blessed in what you do as a doer,
yes.
not in what you do as a busy person.
That's good.
Very good.
So, I'm just going to pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that prompts us, Lord. And yeah. I just pray, Lord, that as a people, Lord, we can see opportunities to walk by your spirit, to reach others and reach those in our community, to be doers of the word, just as you did, Lord Christ, as when you were on earth, to reach others, to heal the sick, Lord, and to touch people where they're at, to share the good news, to share the gospel, Lord. Just give us the boldness, just in faith, Lord, outside of our normal routine, outside of our normal comfort zone, help us to reach out to others that we see. Lord, let us hear your prompting, Lord, because you want us to touch others. You want us to reach out and to share the good news. You want to have an impact on those that don't know you. You want to see lives saved. And so, Lord, we can only be your tools in your hand. Lord, just give us the boldness and courage to step out, the courage to be more to others than we thought we were or could be before, Lord. But Lord, just give us the words to say and the ways to communicate, Lord, and might be soul saved, Lord, and your kingdom established here on earth, Lord. We just want to see your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. So Lord, please, I just pray, Lord, that you would open doors this week for each of us, Lord. Open doors to take a new step that we haven't done before as a doer of the word, Lord, and a doer of the work of Christ as we reach out to others, Lord. Create an opportunity, Lord, where we can bring a testament of your goodness, the testimony of your transformational love to others, Lord. And we just give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Actions, good with deeds, good with thoughts, doing good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe that, like we said before, we come into that new season. I really believe the harvest is white.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with the harvest. Harvest has always been white. There's not a season for waiting for it to be white. It's white. Jesus said the problem is the few.
Mm.
Amen. So I want us to avail ourselves to the Holy Ghost this morning. Say, God, let me be your hands and your feet.
Yes.
Let me be your mouthpiece.
Yes.
Let me speak what my Father speaks to me.
Mm.
Let my words be full of hope, life, and deliverance.
Yes.
Amen. He is the resurrection. He wants to bring resurrection out of death. Glory to God. So I don't know about you, but if that's you this morning, be that instrument in his hand.
Yes.
It's going to challenge you. It will challenge you every day. It will challenge you. It will challenge you to step out of your comfort zone. It will challenge you now when you think it might be offensive because you don't want to hurt anyone. Well, Jesus said that there will be offenses. Not there might be offense, there will be offense. Amen. Offenses will come. And I'm not there to offend people, to give them hope. What gets offended is their sin. So if that's you this morning, you want to be that instrument in his hand, so you're reaping of the harvest, to be a sickle in the hand of the master, to be the sphere, an influence in the sphere of your life. Let's just lift our hands before the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus. God, we come to before you as one man this morning. The body of believers, Father, that we would say, Lord, we see the need of harvest. We ask you, Lord, to thrust us forth, Father, with the boldness and the confidence of your Spirit. That we would be the sickle in your hand to reap a harvest in this hour. That,
yes.
Lord, we would see, my God, them glistening white harvest fields emptied for the glory of the kingdom of God. And, Father, give us the words to speak, the boldness to speak. Just like you did in the book of Acts, you said that they walk with great boldness.
Yes.
Father, we need the great boldness.
Yes.
Lord, circumvent our thinking so we think like you.
Yes.
And Lord, we see the need. And Father, as we see the need, Lord, we step up to that need. And Lord, just like Peter and John at the gate, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Lord, all the power is in your name. All the authority is in your name. And Father, we want to be declarers of that name to bring deliverance to a people in Jesus' name. So therefore, Father, use us. Use us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Use me.
Yes.
Use me, Father.
Yes.
That, Lord, that day of glory, my God, we might see the fruit, that fruit of our ministry in the souls of men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now get ready to be used.
Yep.
He will put you in a situation so you can speak. Speak. Amen. Amazing testimony, actually. You may be seated. No. I was at Australia Post. I'm loud enough. Can you hear me? I was at Australia Post. And someone had asked, my pastor asked me to come to Indonesia. I said, okay. But of course, I didn't have any money. Like a young man that's raising a family and building and paying off a house, you don't usually have a lot of money.
to be left over, especially if you've got kids. And so he says, David, you've got 3 or 4 days to get the money, and then otherwise you can't come. I said, fair enough. So he says, so you're coming? I said, yeah, I'm coming. I'm walking. It was Theo's music store. I'll never forget it. Remember Theo's music store on the corner of Pierce Street and Sterling Street? Theo's music store. Yeah, a couple do. Yeah, Theo's music store. Anyway, I went there. I was outside there, and I'm talking to God aloud. I says, God, you know money. You said to go, and I've got no money. I'm talking like this, quite loud. And I said, so I need the money. Anyway, all these people start to shop because I was loud. And they're looking at me, and they're looking around. I says, it's all right. I'm just having a conversation. I'm in my blue overalls, you know, with Australia Post written on it. I thought, oh, my God, if they ring up, I'll pop off. Anyway, gets to my office at Australia Post, sits down, my phone rings. My pastor rings me up and says, there's a letter here for you. So, he said, I don't know what's in it. He said, it looks just, nothing's in it. I said, okay. He said, do you want me to open it? I says, open it. So he opens it. He says, oh, there's a bank check in here. He says, to the dollar of what you need. So I said, oh, that's my airfare. Thank you, Jesus. And then I'm walking back to the bus stop and I'm speaking in tongues. Rabashi. And every time someone walked past me, I stop, let them walk past me. Start again. And God said to me, why are you stopping? Well, I'm a bit embarrassed, you know. I'm a little bit embarrassed. So every time someone, rab, hello, rab, walk past him. Rab. He said, wait, so he said, stop next time. So anyway, there's a crowd of kids. I'm thinking, I'm going to be just a, and they didn't blink. They never turned around. They never thought anything. I'm thinking, a lot of times what stops me is my perception. My perception, what other people think. And 99.9%, they're not thinking anything. I don't care what the excuse was, but the reality is they don't care about anything. I could have been talking Dutch for all they knew. I could have been spindy. I don't know what I was speaking. I just know I was praising the Lord. And that gave me a bold. I said, you know what, Lord? The reality is I'm not going to conform. I have to be who I am. I'm not saying you just walk around shopping centers and go, rah, bah, bah. So I'm not saying you do that. But I did do on Thursday, I did when I was pushing my son around, I felt an oppression in the shopping center. It's at Mirrabooka. There's a battle. There's a spiritual battle in Mirrabooka. There's a real battle. I mean, it is full of oppression. And I said, God, I refuse to let... And I started singing the songs to the Lord. I started singing a song. I don't know what I was singing. This lady goes, that's a nice voice. I says, thank you. Singing away. And they didn't know what I was singing, but And I'm thinking, I'm going to pray over this place. I'm going to break the atmosphere in this place. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And you just got to be you. Be you. Right? And if you're born again here this morning, there is someone in you. Amen. So, yes. So I got my airfare was paid. My spending money was paid. And when I saw miracles, signs and wonders and deliverance, I came back believing God to go into the hospitals, lay hands on the sick, and they all would rise in Jesus' name. I mean, I saw deaf ears open. I saw the sea. I saw people bent over, stand up. I saw the lame walk. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. I got here Sunday night prayer meeting. We prayed and we had a Sunday night meeting. I prayed for someone with a headache and they still had it. They still had the headache. Yet I had just laid hands on people and their blind eyes were turned to be able to see. Yeah. Opaque eyes went brown in front of me. Mm-hmm. People bent over, stood up. Amen. Demons. I mean, God was stirring me up. I saw the miraculous. I said, God, what is it? He said, because they don't think they have a need. Mm-hmm. And a prophet without honor is without honor in his own town. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a need. I was at a pediatrician's house, this lady's house, top pediatrician in Indonesia. This Muslim woman, they used to get up at 10 to 4 in the morning to pray for an hour. I'm talking about kids, an hour. So they would drown out the sign of the Muslim call. They pray every day from 10 to 4. This lady walks in with a sick child. A sick child. The wife of the pastor, who's a pediatrician, wake up, says, come with me. She looked at us praying. She looked at the pediatrician, she brought the child to us. She's a Muslim. We prayed for the child. She said something to the lady. She walked out. I said, me being the Western man, isn't she going to see the pediatrician? So the pediatrician in Indonesian said to the woman, do you still want to see me? She goes, why? Doesn't he believe what he prays? That's a Muslim telling me, a Christian. I felt about this big. She says, if he's healed, he's healed. And she walked out. We've got to believe what we pray. That's the difference between third world, first world. Amen. If you're hungry, he'll fill you. If you're thirsty, you can drink. But if you think you're already full, he can't fill the cup. Awesome. Well done, son. New generation. Right? Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship after that would be great. God bless you.